of the Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter turned, saw the disciple following whom Jesus loved, the one who had also reclined on his chest during the supper and had said, "Master, who is the one who will betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern of it is yours? You follow me." So the word spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus had not told him that he would not die. Just, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern of it is yours?" It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, but if these were described individually, I do not think the whole world could contain the books that would be written. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The rock, in a sense, always blows it. We see when Jesus had given his own confession in Matthew 16 that because the Father had revealed something special through Simon, son of John, Jesus was choosing to establish his church on him and prevent the gates of hell from prevailing. And as soon as that had occurred, Peter denied the cross, and Jesus, who had changed his name from Simon to Kepha, then changed it from Kepha to Satanas for objecting to the cross. But even after that, Peter eventually got the message and came back. Yesterday we see that Jesus had reconstituted Peter after his threefold denial, raising his love up from what Peter, in his sadness, couldn't say when Jesus was asking, "Will you love me with agape?" And Peter was responding, "Lord, I'll love you with the love of friendship, with the love of philia." And then Jesus downgraded, "Well, will you love me with the love of philia?" And that's when Peter was sad. But Jesus didn't leave him there. He said, "Peter, you who had promised that you would never betray me, even if you should have to die for me, and even though in your despondency you won't confess that you love me that much to die for me now, when you're older, another will stretch out your arms and drag you to a place you don't want to go," signifying the way that he would be crucified in fidelity to the Lord for whom he in fact did die. Even after Jesus had said, "You will love me with agape to the end," Peter then looks and sees St. John. He says, "What about him?" It's a thing of curiosity. It's a thing where he took his eyes off of what Jesus was asking. So Jesus lovingly corrected him. "What if you want him to remain? What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern of it is yours? Tu me sequere. You, your job, your business is to follow me." A lot of the times we can similarly be distracted. The Lord gives us great grace. We don't know how to handle it. And then rather than focus on him and what he's asking of us in response to that grace, we can start becoming concerned about everything else. As we prepare for the Holy Spirit, we do have that beautiful invocation that we'll sing tomorrow. Rege quod est devium. Get back to the straight path, whatever goes astray, whatever is devious, whatever takes us off the mark. Holy Spirit wants to help us to keep that focus. "You follow me," Jesus says to Peter. And we do know that with the help of the Holy Spirit, received on Pentecost, which is after the scene, Peter did. He followed him. As the Lord led him out to spread the gospel, he followed him when the Lord made all food clean. He followed him when he was fraternally corrected by St. Paul with regard to the courage to challenge the Jews to welcome the Gentiles aright, not depend on the Mosaic law like they once had. Followed him all the way until October 13th, 64 AD, when his arms were literally stretched out as he was crucified upside down in the circus of Caligula and Nero in Rome. What an extraordinary end for St. Peter, helped by the Holy Spirit. The Lord could say, whenever we're distracted or troubled about many things that don't matter all that much, you follow me. To just remember that we're not trying to lead the Lord. We're not a friend with him for information, so that we're on the inside. He trusts us enough that he gives us his own mission, this mission that the Holy Spirit wants to have us fulfill. What concern is it of yours, all this other trivia, we could say? What is of concern for us is trying to help the whole world learn to follow Christ. That was Peter's end, pointed toward here. We see two other ends in the gospel. We see a glimpse of the end of St. John. I've always loved the end of the gospel that he wrote. He affirms humbly but truthfully that his testimony is true. He's affirming, this is the gospel of the Lord. But then he says, there are many other things that Jesus did, and if these were described individually, not even all the books in the world could contain that message. It's first a little bit of an indication about the importance of prayer, as the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth, helps us to ponder more deeply the meaning of what the Lord has done, meditating on the Lord's infancy, meditating on the Lord's hidden life in Nazareth, filling in some of the gaps even in the middle of his 3-year public ministry. Holy Spirit wants to help us to unite our entire life to Jesus' whole salvific life. There's so much there, and it's inexhaustible, and this is a little bit of a summons to it. But even though St. John knew all those details, even though he could have been writing the rest of his life, if St. Thomas Aquinas used to have 6 secretaries to whom he would dictate his various volumes and go from one to the next simply because he was constantly trying to share with others what the Lord himself had illumined within the great mind and heart he had given St. Thomas, how much more could St. John have continuously shared what not all the books in the world could fathom? But at the end of his life, you see a different tendency. Not just saying, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing. As St. Jerome tells us, the young boys would go get him at a place he was staying in Ephesus and bring him to where everybody else was convening on Sunday. And when his voice was really frail and no one could hear, they would huddle around him as he would just simply say over and again, little children, let us love one another. And when one of these bold young men basically told the elderly John, you're a broken record, don't you have a different message? He didn't go to all the other things that weren't described in the book. He didn't even go to all the other things that he could have said that he had in fact written down. He kept returning to that simple message because he said, I never tire of saying this because the Master never did. And if we do this, satis, if we do this, it's enough. So instead of getting lost in all of these details, he continuously essentialized the faith and brought it straight down to receiving the Lord's love in such a way that that's the way we follow the Lord in every action, loving one another as he has loved us first, with the love that he has received from the Father. That was his end to the very end. Just like Peter was faithful in his suffering, sharing in Jesus' crucifixion, so John was faithful, sharing in his love and helping everyone else not only become beloved disciples, conscious of the love of the Lord, but to treat others as beloved disciples too. And the third end we have today is St. Paul. Holy Spirit, by the way, on that second point with St. John, is that caritas, as we'll sing in the Veni Creator Spiritus, is that love between the Father and the Son who is poured into our hearts so that we might enter fully into that, as the theologians would say, perichoretic love of the Trinity, that love that never ends, that total self-giving, constantly in communion. That's God's plan for us. The third end is St. Paul. Here he comes to Rome. We don't believe that this is really the end. Early Christian tradition is pretty strong in saying he went to a place called Spain, and then he came back. And that's when he was eventually decapitated by Nero in Aquae Salviae outside the city of Rome. But at least when he was here for 2 years, he was under house arrest. He was in chains because of his fidelity to the Lord. But he didn't complain about it. St. Paul would write from Rome to Timothy that he was praying for the grace to fight the good fight, to finish the race. There was an urgency to it. There was a battle involved. But to keep the faith by passing it on. And so when he couldn't move, the great peripatetic preacher, he continued to preach the gospel. Even though his members were chained, his heart and his lips were not. There's a beautiful expression here. He received all who came to him. He recognized that the Lord, if he couldn't travel, would bring people to him. And he received them all with complete assurance and without hindrance. He proclaimed the kingdom of God, taught about the Lord Jesus, that the king was still reigning as Paul was imprisoned. And what an incredible witness that was in helping Rome get beyond the Judaized version of Christianity that they had first heard and to accept what St. Paul had been a chosen vessel to announce. He received all who came to him. Where'd that hospitality come from? It ultimately came from the way that St. Paul received the Lord who came to him. His hospitality, the grace of the Lord, the way that he would respond to the Lord's presence helped him to respond to the presence of others who would come. This is the third great gift we can ask of the Holy Spirit as we prepare for Pentecost tomorrow. In the Veni Sancti Spiritus, the sequence for tomorrow, we call the Holy Spirit Dulcis Hospes Anime, the sweet guest of the soul. The more we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, not only does it train us to receive others the way we receive God, but in fact, that sweet guest of the soul actually empowers us from within to receive them with even greater love and hospitality. As we finish this Easter season, we give God thanks for all the grace he's given us, not just in Easter, but throughout Lent. We go back to the foundations of the faith and we recognize that the risen Jesus is always with us. Today, that risen Jesus wants to prepare us to receive what he himself described was an even greater gift, what Pope Benedict would call the greatest gift of God Most High, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who's so great that it was better for Jesus to go so that he could come. And he sends the Holy Spirit as we pray for that outpouring together with Mary and the whole church in order to help us to follow him, to become his love in the heart of the church, and to welcome not only all his graces, but all the gifts that he sends us in other people so that one day we might be welcomed into that eternal kingdom where Peter and Paul and John and all the saints rejoice in Jesus' risen presence forever.